Bibles tonight, the book of John chapter 4. I'm going to take just a minute this evening. Drive a little nail here this evening. I about screamed my throat out in revival this week, so I'm going to try to take it easy here just for a minute. In the book of John chapter 4, we see the story here of what we call the Jesus and the woman at the well. They had a tremendous conversation here, and he read her mind and told her to go get her husband and told her everything she ever did and all kind of stuff. And then I'm going to break in on the conversation here and tell you something that the Lord told her and build this thought about it this evening. And reiterate some things that you know already. And I want to preach tonight on how do I know that we have the right one. How we know we have the right one. Or you could title this message, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Here in John chapter 4, look at verse number 22. John chapter 4 and verse 22. Ye worship, you know not what. That's true of a lot of people. They don't know what they're worshiping. We know what we worship. Jesus said, we know. He was very dogmatic about it. Very narrow about it. He didn't say, ours is one of many. He didn't say, people over there skinned us in Iraq. He was being a Jew. There was some of his half-brothers. He said, nope, we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. There's many religions and philosophies in the world tonight. All of them claiming to be the right one. As soon as you get saved, they come in like a swarm of buzzards. It's amazing how that these people, you never even knew they were religious until you get saved. And as soon as you get saved, they're over to your house telling you how wrong your church is that God used to reach you for Jesus. Didn't you notice that? They come out of the woodwork and all these things saying, oh, your church is wrong. Oh, you didn't do this. You didn't get baptized the same hour you believed. You didn't do this. You didn't fall backwards or speak in tongues, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you didn't do this. And always somebody coming along saying, if you didn't do exactly what I did, then you didn't get what I got. So tonight, I want to preach tonight on how I know we have the right one. I'll never forget what got me thinking about this was years ago. You know, I've been raised here all my life, and I've never done a lot of traveling until I started preaching. But let me tell you something, I've done some now. I have done some traveling. For many years, since I was 20 years old or 19, I have crisscrossed this country and went back and forth and learned some things. But when I first got saved, me and these boys took what we call missionary journeys. And we had just got on fire for God, got right with the Lord. We got our Bibles and we got the right spirit. We got on fire for God, and God called us to preach. And we decided we was going to go out and convert the world to the Lord. And we just had the best time ever was. Well, we got in a van, loaded up one time, went up into Tennessee, went to Bristol, Johnson City, Kingsport, got my picture took up there preaching on top of my van, put it on the front page of the paper in Johnson City. I still got it somewhere. And then went on around, come back through Sevierville and Gatlinburg and preached that way all the way back home. Well, we decided we was going to take us one of these missionary trips to Atlanta. We didn't have no money. We put 4,000 or 5,000 tracts in my van. We'd sleep in the van. And about 4 or 5 of us would take off and go to Atlanta. So we went. And we went. I'd never been to Atlanta except to play basketball one time. We never went downtown then. I don't think I got bugs in my head. I don't know what that is. I got some in there when I was running yesterday. I might still be in there. But anyway, I washed my hair, but you can't drown them little buggers. And, they were all downtown Atlanta. We went down there and we said, all right, boys, we're going to go down here and we're going to convert Atlanta. Great revival's going to fall. God's going to do a great and mighty work. But we got down there and I never in my life seen such a mess. There's a street right down through the middle of Atlanta and a great big park there. And I think one of the main street is called Gay Street. Gay Street. I'm telling you. And it was that way for years, you know, before they twisted and perverted that word. And I went down there and we started giving out tracts. And I said, well, here we are. Yes, here we are. A bunch of little rednecks from North Carolina. We got our Bibles under our arm. We had our little short sleeve shirt on and our tie. We said, glory to God, a revival's going to come to this big city. Well, we got to looking around there, and I never in my life seen such a mess. There was a guy standing over here, and somebody said, look, Brother Danny, look. And there was a man standing here that honestly looked like Moses had stepped out of the Bible. I mean, he had a beard, long hair, had a robe on like this, and he had some kind of book. It looked like the Old Testament or something. And he was going, the end is near. I came and I said, oh, Lord. I said, something's wrong with that guy. I mean, he acted plumb. I said, oh, my goodness. And you know, around down here, somebody said, look over there, preacher. And over there, there was a guy standing there. He had his arm out like this, and he had a snake wrapped around his arm, all the way around his arm, and it was coming around looking at him like that right there, and he's like just standing there, like he had good sense. I said, good night, what kind of people are these? Somebody said, look over here. We had started giving out tracts. There was these people had Hare Krishna, these Lord worship Hare Krishna. They all look like you busted an egg on their head right here. You ever seen them? They got some old yellow junk just running down their face, and that's part of their religion. And like some of them got them red dots, you know, them women there. You scratch them off, see if you win a motel or a convenience store. But anyway, they got this yellow stuff on here. It's all yellow stuff, looked like paint. And they had on sheets that looked like they'd been washed and something faded on them. Like, you ever seen sheets got stuff faded on? They're pink. That's what they had on. And they're completely bald-headed, slick bald-headed, and had one little sprig of hair coming out right here, down to their waist, and it was braided in the like a ponytail. And they had these weird-looking little guitars, and they were like gourds, and they were going, bing, 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 bing. And they were giving away literature and cookies. And they said, I ain't eating one of them cookies. I said, if I eat one of them, it'll do me like that. I'll turn into one of them things. I said, these people nuts. Up where I come, everybody's Baptist or sinners. One of the two. You're either a both. You're either a Baptist or a sinner or both. And I said, here's Lord Krishna. Here's Moses standing over here. Here's snake handler over here. And then about that time, somebody said, Brother Danny, what's that noise? I heard something up there. I said, Lord, they're having a rock concert. And I heard music playing. And, you know, you've heard me tell it. The closer I got, the more I thought, that ain't a rock concert. There was thousands of people out in the lawn drinking beer. Some of them were dancing, all laid down like this. And it was a Christian concert. And all these guys had on solid white suits. Look just like it right there. And they have the microphones, and they're all on stage, and they're going, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Like it. And I said, what in the world is wrong with these people? I said, these people's nuts. They've lost their mind. I said, this office mess I've seen in my life. How are we going to convert the world? And then the devil jumps on me. And the devil jumps on my back, and he said, what makes you think that you bunch of little boys from up in North Carolina got the truth, and all these people all over the world are wrong? And that's a legitimate question, isn't it? That's a legitimate question. Everybody ought to ask themselves that question. How do you know that you've got the right one? How do you know we're not just deceived? Don't sit there and look at me like that. Everybody in here has crossed your mind. Once in a while, you thought, well, now all these other people in other parts of the world, they believe their religion's right, they was raised that way. And then some of the other places in the world, they believe their religion's right, they was raised that way. And what makes us think we're right? Well, I'm a fixing to tell you how we know. Jesus said we know. I'm going to say tonight, you listen to me. I don't think, I don't hope, I know just as sure as my name's Danny, and just as sure as we're standing in a church building, I know as sure as this is God's Word, that we're hooked up with the right spirit. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being egotistical tonight. I'm not being prideful. I'm just saying we've got the truth tonight. We ought to stand on it. We ought to appreciate it. Thank God we got the right one. Amen. I'd rather have no religion than the wrong one. Give me down just one hair on this, brother. I'd rather have none as the wrong one. You'd be better off. It's easier to help somebody with no religion than it is with a messed up religion. They have to unlearn everything they've been taught before they can swallow the truth. Well, let's think about it. I'm going to give you some things here by way of introduction tonight. I'm not going to preach too long, so you listen carefully. Here's how you know the cause. This is not the message. This is the introduction. There's seven ways that you can know a cult. And somebody said, well, so-and-so said we're the cult. So-and-so said you're the cult. Now, if you ain't being called a cult, you ain't doing nothing for God. Any church that isn't called a cult isn't right. They're always been called a cult if you're right with God. But here's the way you know a true cult. A true cult, number one, claims extra-biblical revelation. Almost every one of them. What does that mean? They claim some kind of revelation from God that's apart or beyond what the Bible says. That automatically qualifies you for a cult. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we are tonight? We got a lineage going all the way back to the apostles. We are Bible-believing Baptists. We are Christians first. Well, I also told another night in revival, I said, I'm a Christian by birth. I'm here. I'm a Baptist by choice. And I'm Southern by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? I'm proud of it. And don't want to be nothing else. Amen. I don't want to move up north. They can have it. They can have Massachusetts. They can have Connecticut and Rhode Island and Vermont and every one of them places. I'm from Southern and redneck and proud of it. And so, you know how we know? We claim to believe the Bible. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. We believe that the Bible and this Bible right here, listen to me, is the final authority in matters of faith and practice. Say amen right there. You can never become a cult believing that. The book says it, that's it. It don't matter what you dreamed. It don't matter how many angels come in your grandma's bedroom or how many visions she saw in the sky. I don't care if Dale Earnhardt had his number wrote up there in clouds. I'm telling you what, brother, we believe the Bible is the final authority. If I ever quit preaching the Bible, throw me out and get somebody that will. Fair enough? I'm going to tell you this book is right. That's what they claim. You know what else a cult is? A cult always has works added as a part of your salvation. Every false cult in America believes you have to do something to be saved besides believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're always trying to make it more complicated than it is. But it's not complicated. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know how I got saved? I believed on Him. You know how you got saved? If you got saved, you believed on Him. It's strictly by His grace. You don't do nothing to get saved. You don't do anything to stay saved. You didn't earn it. It's by grace. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Every cult has works as a part of your salvation. Number three, every cult has an uncertain hope. Automatically, did you know if you add works to salvation, you're going to have an uncertain hope because you don't never know if you've done enough works or not. They never know. Ask any one of them. Ask them. Ask a Mormon. Ask a Jehovah's Witness. Ask a Seventh-day Disadvantage. Ask every one of them. Say, do you know for a fact you died right now, you'd go to heaven? They'll say, no. We're trying to comply with the wishes of our Heavenly Father. And as we try harder, we will soon someday be accepted by. That's a bunch of junk, brother. We are accepted in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Hebrews, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. By which will we are sanctified. Jesus did the will of God, and when He sees us, He don't see me, He sees the Lord, Jesus Christ, covering me. Thank God Almighty, tonight we have a certain hope. That's shouting ground, people. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm glad, brother, we know where we're going when we die. All of that. Number four, cults have an earthly head. They have some big dude somewhere that runs the whole show. Like Garner W. Ted Armstrong. Like Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. Started to, what that, those, that little blue books you see in the doctor's office. Them little blue books about that thick. What are them things? No, they ain't the Gideon. Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy, that's all her husband's name. And, old Ellen G. White. that Seventh-day Adventist and all them false religions. Listen, them people, they always have an earthly head like the Pope over there. He's too poop to Pope, brother. I mean, he ain't the head of the church. He's not the vicar of Christ. He's not the apostle of the interceder between us and God. Listen, this church tonight don't have no earthly head. We have a pastor. We have offices. We have that. We don't have no earthly head. We don't report to nobody. We don't belong to nothing. Our headquarters ain't in Nashville or Atlanta. There's not a big something else. Somebody asked me one day, said, what do y'all belong to? I said, we just belong to the Lord. They said, what denomination are you? I said, we're just Baptists. We don't belong nowhere. They said, well, how are you registered with the state? The state don't even know we exist. It ain't none of our business, no way. I'm telling you tonight, brother, you won't separate the church and state, don't you? The state ain't got no business sticking a nose in a church. Amen. Oh, Lord, I'm giving this message if I can ever get past this introduction. All right. Not all that. Like Joseph Rutherford, Pastor Russell, a false church will follow their head even when he goes against the Bible. That's why you know a cult. Number five, they claim special discoveries. Like Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon church. He went out there one day, he claims, and old Moroni, the angel Moroni, appeared. And Moroni gave him the baloney, brother. And I'm telling you what, he gave him them golden plates. He gave him them golden plates. And he said, now here, Joe, don't y'all sit there and get mad at me. You know, the only way I can teach these young people what's right is name what's wrong. And the Mormon church is a cult. You listen to me? It's a cult, brother. It's a cult. And so is Jehovah's Witnesses. And them old Joe Smith, he gave him the baloney and had them golden plates. Nobody ever seen them. Nobody ever read them. They were hid somewhere. And that's these guys that always wear these white short-sleeved shirts and knock on your door. Not the bicycle guys. Yeah, they're the bicycle guys, right? They're the bicycle guys. The other ones riding vans, minivans. They'll come and knock on your door and leave literature on your shelf. Listen, you say, what do I do, preacher? Should I invite them in? No. You should be a witness. You should take their literature and throw it in the trash can. You know why? Because it's a false church. You say, I preach here. At least they're doing something. Yeah, they're damning people to hell what they're doing.
Yeah.
Going to tell them people there ain't no hell. You know what blows my mind? People don't even believe there's a hell and get out and witness. And people do know believe there's one. Can't even get them to hit a lick of a snake. That proves there's a devil trying to fight us. Well, the next thing about cults is they sell things on the street. I was in the airport one time, and there's this weird-looking dude standing there, and he had these books. And he said, you can just tell. You can tell they're glassy, or their eyes are glassed over or something. I don't know what's a weird spirit on them. And I told this guy, he said, yes, sir, would you like one of our free books? He said, our free books here tell about so-and-so and so-and-so and the prophet so-and-so and the vision that he's seen for the last day. I said, sure, give me one. I'm getting ready to get on that plane. I'll look at it. He said, well, we ask that you give a donation of $15 in order for this book. And I said, well, I don't have no $15. Just give me a free book. He said, well, no, we ask that you give us a donation of $15. I said, oh, you're selling them. He said, no, they're free. And I said, okay, well, I want it then. I was just messing with him, you know. I didn't knew what he was trying to do. I was just messing with his head. I said, okay, I want my free book. He said, well, we need a donation. I said, well, if I got to give you $15 for it, it ain't free, is it? He said, yes. I said, now that's where I come from. If I got to give you $15 for it, that means you sold it to me. No, it's a donation. You say, and before y'all get too amen down on them, watch out for about half of the Baptist preachers that do the same thing on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, for a love gift of such and such, we'll send you another. Just sit in there and say, well, I just want the tape, so I ain't going to send you no love gift. You say, well, that way it's tax-free. That's why the world calls us crooks. I'm going to open up a clothing store, and it's all going to be tax-free. And I'm going to say, free suits for a love gift of $139. For a love gift of $139 for this ministry, I'll give you this free suit. That's crooked, brother. That's crooked. They sell things on the street. God never did ordain churches trying to sell things in order to pay God's bills. His plan of financing all the way through the Bible is tithes and offerings. God's people. Amen? All that. Number seven, a cult never majors on Christian scriptures. Their favorite scripture is in Ecclesiastes or Jeremiah. I'm not saying that's not the Word of God. I'm just saying those are not Christian scripture aimed at Christians doctrinally in the church age. Am I right, Preacher Bill? They'll get back there and say, the dead know nothing to teach soul sleep. Or they get back there and say, the wicked shall perish and you'll be as ashes under your feet to prove there's no hell. You always know you're dealing with a cult when they'll take a verse from the Old Testament that's obscure and overthrow 20 verses in the New Testament that are plain as a nose on your face.
Yeah.
Amen. With that in mind, I'll give you four reasons why we know we got the right one. And since I made a long introduction, I'll just give you my little reasons. Now, these are not deep theological reasons. These are not reasons scientifically or historically like you might think that I'm going to give you. Man gets up and says, how do you know you got the right religion? You think he's going to go way back in history and all that? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you common sense. Common sense is not too common now. And the reason I preach like I do, I've been preaching 30-something years, people. If I wanted to, I could get up here and rally all off and give you and read you words and say the Greek word here means this and the Greek word. You ever notice I don't never do that? Because I don't want you to ever get the impression that if you don't know Greek, you can't get the real meaning of the Bible. I believe we got the Bible in English. I believe we got God's Word in English. I believe you can get out of everything I can get out of it. We don't have the clergy up here and the laity down here. We're all on the same level. We all got a copy of God's book. And I keep it down level on purpose. You'll never hear me get up here and say, oh, Pastor, the people that I work with come to church and it would really impress them if you would get up there and say the Greek word. I got a strong concordance. I got every word in the King James Bible in Hebrew and Greek. And I could try to say them right. If I didn't, you'd never know the difference. But I don't do that because I'm preaching you common sense. And I do this on purpose. You don't think I could get up here and give you some address and tell you something about dialectical materialism and get in all that stuff about science? What good would that do these teenagers? What good would that do that young man that's battling drugs? What good would that do that young lady who's trying to keep her life right? I appeal to your common sense, and here's what I'm going to do. First of all, we know we have the right religion tonight because ours is the only religion in the world, Christianity, that attracts little children. There's not another religion in the world that kids are attracted to. Did you know kids are attracted to real Christianity? You don't see them little Muslim kids, bless their heart, they take them in there and they make them little old young'uns. They sometimes even beat them. You see them on TV where they got stripes on them and everything where they beat them little kids and make them. You don't see those kids happy. Buddy, you know what? I noticed that when I first got saved. I started going to churches, and boy, we'd get to the microphone, and the little kids would get up there, and they'd say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Boy, their little heart was just a-pounding. You know, they was taking part in the service. I've seen that many a time. And I sat there, and I remember sitting there thinking, you know what? This has got to be the real thing, because there's no, you don't have to be educated. I've been asked this twice lately. I don't know, somebody thinks because we're in a nice church, we're fancy or what. Twice lately, they said, what do we have to do to get in your choir? They said, do we have to try out for your choir? I said, no, you do not have to try out for our choir. They said, well, what if somebody gets up there that can't sing? You say, Brother Danny, you've had choirs for years. Don't you tell some people not to get up? No! You know how I handle it? I use my head. I get enough people that can sing to drown out the ones that can't sing. I'll take the ones that can't sing and say, it would be better if you stood over here. This ain't a singing contest. This ain't American Idol. We ain't up here, brother, putting on notes. We're up here trying to sing for the glory of God. And them little kids, listen, I've seen them get up here and pick their nose. They'd die in some of them churches, kid got up there. The little kid get up there. I've seen them little girls do the dresses like this, you know. Oh, Jared, one time when he was real little, I let him get up here and sing. I said, he wants to sing a song. He got up there and he said, who let the dogs out? That's the way you know you got the right one, brother. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'm telling you, ours is the only one that attracts little children. Amen. That's right, brother. I'm telling you tonight, listen, you hear me? What about a shepherd that only kept the big sheep and left the little lambs go astray? You know why? You know how I know Christianity's the right one? Because kids know it's real. They know it's real. They can spot a fake a mile away. If I got up here and had my collar turned around backwards and I had on a dress on Sunday and I came out here and I said, good evening. It is such a joy to have, you know what our kids be going, oh, gosh, when is this going to be over with? What is wrong with him? Listen, brother, I've had them that high come up and slap me and say, give me five, Brother Danny. That's what I want to do when I grow up. Listen, that's how you know you got the real thing. It's the only religion that attracts little children. Amen. I'm telling you what, brother, them little kids, they can spot a fake a mile away. I like kids. I think everybody here, you know, my kids' stories, I ain't got time to tell them all of them tonight. I think everybody here ought to have to teach a class about 4 or 5 year olds for about a year. Every one of you. You'd learn more Bible. You'd learn more about human nature. I'm telling you, they'll blow your mind, brother. I mean, they'll keep you honest. Them kids will keep you honest. Like, they'll look at you like, you know, I seen a story one time. This has been years ago. You kids won't understand this. When the Dukes of Hazzard was real popular, and this is the truth. I was at the store, and they had the Pope on the front of the TV guide where he came to America. And there's a kid standing in front of me, and his daddy was standing right there. And I was standing at the store, and the kid reached up and pulled his daddy's head and said, "Where's Boss Hog?" Oh, that's right. That's right. You can't fool them kids, amen. You can't fool them kids, amen. They said one time, a kid come in one time, and Grandpa died. And somebody said, "Here's Grandpa's glasses." And they said, "Oh, Lord, Grandpa can't see a thing up in heaven." He tied and left his glasses down here. I like them stories, brother. Well, those kids keep you honest. Amen. They ain't fooled like adults. You can't fool them as easy as you can old people. These kids, they're a modern art exhibit. You've seen modern art. I seen something somewhere we was at the other night down there in Denver at a restaurant. Well, it looks just like somebody mixed up a bunch of paint and slung it up against the wall. You got to go to college to appreciate that. I was looking at it. Is that hung upside down? What's wrong with it? Two old kids looked at one of them and said, "Let's get out of here before they say we did it." That's modern art. Amen. That's the way religion is. They can tell. Listen, if I ain't real, every kid in here can tell it. Every kid in here can tell it. Amen. They can tell it. Lord have mercy, brother. You can't fool them. I'm telling you what, they're so honest. They'll stare a hole through you. There's like that preacher went over to the little house one day. He went over there to eat, and they were getting ready to ask the blessing on the food. And the mom said, "Now, honey, you ask the blessing." She said, "I don't know. "Yes, honey, you ask the blessing." Preacher's in there. "Hey, we want to make an impression on the preacher." And she said, "I don't know what to say, mom. Just say what mommy says." So everybody bowed their heads. She said, "Lord, why did I invite these people over here on a day like this?" That's what them kids are. They'll keep you honest, amen. I mean, they'll come over and say, "Mama said to tell you she ain't home." You know, stuff like that. Brother, listen, that's why I know we got the right one. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I like that guy. They was in Sunday school one day, and two little boys were talking, and one of them said, "You know what? I bet Noah sure did do a lot of fishing on that boat. He's on there about a year, you know." He thought, "Man, I bet they fish." And he said, "No, he didn't, stupid. He didn't have but two worms." They're smart, ain't they? I mean, can you imagine a little kid getting up in a Buddhist temple and saying, "Buddha, what made this I know? For Confucius, tell me so." I mean, can you imagine that? It don't happen. You know how you know you got the right one? Because little kids like you. You see those little kids up here singing in the choir? We don't make them do that. They like it. They look forward to it. Some of them say, "I want to get in the choir, Brother Danny. I want to get up and sing." You say, "What if they do something?" Well, big deal, brother. Let the Lord have His way. Let them praise Him. Out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise. Let God get the glory. I know we got the right one. Amen. I'd like to tell you all my kids' stories, but I ain't got time. I sure would like to, though. I'm telling you about that. Teacher told his kids, she said, "Now, kids," she said, you draw me a picture and illustrate Bible verses and stuff like that." One kid drawed a picture and it had an airplane flying out like this, and a man flying a plane like this, and the back seat says a man, woman. She said, honey, what is that? The kids said, that's Mary and Joseph and their flight out of Egypt. Said, oh, okay. Said, well, who's that guy first? She said, that's Pontius the Pilate. Duh. See, you can't figure out stuff like that. Man, they'll help you learn the Bible if you'll listen to them. Well, kid down there, one time he's praying, a little boy and girl, and they're saying, our Father which art in heaven, how, and he puts him, said, his name ain't Hal, it's Howard. Howard be thy name. I'm telling you what. She taught one thing, she said, now listen. She said, God told Lot to take his wife and flee out of Sodom. And they went and told the whole story, you know, and everything. And the little boy said, no, teacher, Lot went out there and got drunk, and his wife turned into a pillar of salt. Whatever happened to that flea? Lord have mercy. Einstein couldn't figure that out. But you know my favorite one. I'll skip all the rest of them. Kid turns in a piece of paper. They're all supposed to illustrate Bible verse or song at church. Had this great big grizzly bear. Big old bear like this. And he's cross-eyed like this. And right below it, it said, gladly. And she looked and looked, what in the world? I can't. She thought, what in the world? Big old cross-eyed bear standing there like that. And gladly wrote, she said, honey, I'm sorry, I don't understand this. And the little kid looked over and said, that song we sing all the time, gladly, my cross-eyed bear. Woo! That's too deep for me, brother. That's too deep for me. I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, you don't get down on the commentary. I'm telling you, I know that church is the only place you can find something like that. Listen, you work with them bus kids a while, you'll get you an education. You ought to do it. Carrie had a bunch of little old young'uns one time. After Christmas, she was going to tell him what he was going to do the next day. And the kid went home and said, Mama! She said, what did y'all learn at school today? She said, Mama, tomorrow we're going to show our tail. She said, what? She said, the teacher said tomorrow we're all going to show our tail. She said, we're going to have show and tail, you know. Show and tail. That's crazy. Well, I ain't got time to get into all them. All the ladies come up. One more, okay. Ladies, I got about 25 more of them. Ladies come over here like this. All the ladies come over. Little kid comes running in and says, Mama, which one's old Miss Hypocrite? That's right, brother. They'll keep you honest. They'll keep you honest. Listen, that's how we know we got the right one. Because ours is the only one that attracts little children. Let me say secondly, I'll say this right quickly. Ours is the only one. Ours is the only religion in the world that produces tears of joy. Did you hear what I said? Remember, I'm giving you practical common sense. I'm a lawyer, and I'm arguing my case tonight, and before the judge and jury, I present this is the only religion in the world where people have tears of joy. Being it is the only religion in the world where people cry because they're so happy. As a matter of fact, sometimes people come in, we start getting the blessing. And we have that. People say, well, what's wrong with them? Did somebody die? You know, they don't understand. Listen, the happiest I've ever been in my life was when I was crying. The world don't understand that. They don't operate like that. I mean, you go out there, what's the happiest the world gets? You're in a club or a bar. Go out there in the club tonight. They're out there like this. Hey, man, give me another drink. They're not all in there going, I'm so happy. I'm saying, brother, they're all in there saying, yeah, man, get another, oh, give me another bear like that. But brother, we get in there, and the glory I'll never forget. I've been saved just a few months. I had my little OMG, y'all. Some of y'all might remember that little car I had. Had a top down on that thing, a little convertible. I had on a pair of blue jean shorts. My hair was still down here on my shoulder. I've been saved about 3 months. And I was driving down Highway 70 from Nebo coming toward Morganton. And it started dawning on me what the Lord did for me. I started thinking about having eternal life. I started thinking about missing hell when I died. I started thinking about my name being in heaven. I thought I was going to blow up. I started crying, tears running down my cheeks. I said, oh, Lord of God, this is the best thing I've ever felt in my life. Woo! Amen. Listen, the world don't know what that means. Not long after that, I hadn't been saved but about a year. I was getting ready for church one Sunday morning. I was standing in front of the mirror. I was combing my hair, brushing my teeth, trying to get ready to go, and I got to think, there's a song come on the radio. And this happened to me not too long ago. About 2 or 3 years ago, this same thing happened. There's a song come on the radio, and that song touched my heart. And I started thinking, oh, Lord, I'm belong to God's family. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not going to hell. And big old tears started coming down my teeth. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Listen, being a Christian's the only thing in the world that does you like that. Tears of joy. We cry when we're happy. That's a weird thing to the world. See, I'm not giving you an update, but I'm just giving you common sense. Number three, I'll move on for time's sake. I was the only one that has the fruits. Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them. What I mean by that? Here's what I mean. False cults and religions get their converts out of other churches. People that are unsatisfied with their religion. We get ours out of pool hall. Jehovah's Witnesses, you just don't know how important what I just said was. Did you listen? Let this get down your head. Jehovah's Witnesses don't get people out of pool halls and crack houses. Never. Jesus said, by their fruits, you'll know them. You know, if you know a tree, that thing there started having apples come out on it, I'd leave. But if it was a real tree and apples started growing on there, I'd say, there's an apple tree. You know the tree by the fruit it bears. Pears, oranges, a cherry, what plums, whatever. And you'll know that tree by the fruit it bears. Listen, Mormons, you know where they get their converts? Disgruntled Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians that go to dead churches and their feelings are hurt and don't have a family life program and a building and something like that. And that's where they get their converts, teaching them that they're wrong. You know where we get our converts? On the street corner or down there in a drug rehab or in jail. But you know why? We've got something to offer the man on crack. We've got something to offer the girl that's a prostitute. Me and Brother Mike and Brother Don down there in Hickory several months ago with Allen Street. Prostitute come walking right up to the car where we were and started talking to us. Well, you know what we had? We had something to offer them. If we were a Jehovah's Witness, we'd say, well, I hate you in this mess. There ain't no hell, so don't worry about it. Just try to keep... Listen, they ain't got nothing to offer somebody like that. We said, listen, girl, Jesus died for your sins. You can have instant righteousness by trusting His holy name. You should say, I'm not good enough. Don't matter. He's already been good enough for you. And He'll give you His righteousness. I'm telling you, that's how you know you got the right one. Brother, we have the fruits. Amen. I ain't got time to get into all that. I put a sign up in Marion one time, and a girl wrote down the sign, and God spoke to her heart, and she wrote a song, and that song got sung all over the place. I done that little message, that Marilyn Manson message, 10 years ago, and we still get emails, don't we, Brother Tim? We still get emails about people getting saved. I had somebody call me one day. They said, Brother Danny, we took that rock music message. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Said we had a bunch of college kids. This is down below Statesville, somewhere above Charlotte. They said everybody was watching it. They said the next thing we know, they was down to the floor. They was crying. They was praying. They was getting right with God. I'm telling you, there's the way you know the real thing. It bears fruit. It bears fruit. We don't go over here and say, well, you in these dead churches, you've been taught wrong all your life. Let us teach you right. We go where the sinners are. People from dead churches won't come. That's fine, too. We have the fruits. I ain't got time. George Mueller cared for 10,000 orphans, raised $8 million, and never took up an offering. $8 million, a lot of money in the 1800s. And never took up an offering. And George Mueller read the Bible through 200 times, 100 times on his knees. And they said a lot of times they'd be sitting there in an orphanage and there wouldn't be nothing to eat. And all the kids would be sitting there with their knife and fork. And Brother Mueller would say, let's bow our heads and thank God for the food. And they didn't have none. And before he'd get through praying, somebody come knocking on the door and say, I was traveling through and I got two sacks of wheat in the back. And God told me to come over here and give them to you. That's the way you know you got the right one, buddy. We're hooked up with people like that. With people like Fanny Crosby that wrote 8,000 songs. Some of the greatest songs in church history. That woman wrote them things. Can you imagine writing stuff like How Firm a Foundation? It seems like that should be in the Bible. You know, I can imagine somebody really writing that. George Harrison, Paul McCartney, them little amateurs. Brother, Fanny Crosby, 8,000. And was blind from the time she was 6 weeks old. That's how you know you got the right one. I ain't got time to get all that. There's only one finally that tells the truth. What do you mean by that, preacher? That means we don't have to change our doctrine every 15 or 20 years to adjust the way the world's going. Other religions do. Other religions have a big conference about once every 50 years and changes all their doctrine to fit the times we're living in. We're still preaching the same stuff that Paul preached 2,000 years ago. And ain't about to change. We ain't even close. You know what the world thinks? They think that sooner or later, all us Christians are just going to die out. It's what John Lennon thought. He said, Christianity is going to go. It's going to vanish and shrink. Come on, Miss Desi. And he said, we're more popular than Jesus. You know what a nut, man. They underestimate us major. Major. They somebody bigger than me and you in this thing. Some carrying it along. I look back at my life sometimes and I think, somebody has just been carrying me. That's what it feels like. Because I went down a million times. And I got to thinking, Lord, something got a hold of me. And I believe it. I heard somebody, I've been doing a little research for the thing we're going to do next Sunday on our Constitution. And one of the guys on the video I've got said, did you know that years and years ago, many preachers would get in churches and actually call politicians names? And I said, what you talking about many, many years ago? I know 500 of them that do that still right now. We're the best kept secret in the country, brother. Bible-believing Christians. To watch TV, you wouldn't even think we exist. But there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. Don't you ever feel like you're the only one. God's got a lot of kids scattered out all this country. And I tell you, on this 4th of July week, we ought to just be on our face thanking God that we know the truth and got the right one. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.